And essentially, we're looking at things that are in our culture and often it's subtle things. I think of our Aussie culture as quite a refined, very positive, and there are many great things. We are blessed to be Australian and to grow up here. There are many things that we have received, but there are also disadvantages that we have, and we need to take heed of those things. And so this is the second last. Next week, Mike will be bringing us the last session. Today we're looking at convenience, and after that, believe it or not, we're going to be getting into an Advent series. Christmas is upon us, which is really exciting. And what we're going to look at today is the subtle cost of loving convenience. The subtle cost of loving convenience. And convenience is a good thing. Let me say that at the outset. If you go away from here and you think, okay, I need to make sure I have no convenience in my life, I'm going to take the longest route I can home. I'm going to look for, even though that thing might be cheaper and better quality, I'll buy that thing even though it's top. No, convenience is a good thing. It is good to have it. The issue with so many of these things that we're looking at in this Christ and Culture series is when they're put in the wrong place and they're overvalued. The same with money. It's a good thing. The Lord Jesus had money. He used it. But it has to be in its rightful place. And the same with convenience. Gonna make sure that doesn't do that again. That's a reminder from Man Camp. The stand was almost dropping as well. So, after this, take the shortest, quickest route home that you normally do. Make sure you continue to have convenience in your life, but not at the cost of your love for the Lord. What I'm going to do is look at two areas where we have convenience. Convenience in the world, and then convenience that we can find in the church. And then lastly, we're going to look at Christ and the inconvenient call that he gives us. And the inconvenience in the world, this is something that's probably not, I'm guessing, too much of an issue for us, but again, it can subtly come in. And I just wanted to draw out a few things that I've observed as I've reflected on the things that happen in our world. What often happens is convenience in the world will often come at the cost of your conscience. So when you have the opportunity to do something, it might be convenient. It's always at a cost of your conscience. Not always, but often. Let me give you a few examples of this. You might be buying some petrol. You go in to pay, and then, you know, the guy at 7-Eleven says, that'll be $34. Would you like some Skittles? And two for one today. Why not? Can you see right there in that moment? Is it so subtle, so slight, there's this cost. And it can be, it's okay to buy Skittles. Like, I'm saying these things, brothers and sisters, you've got to always test what I'm saying, and there's a variety of situations, you know, that you've got to unpack this in. But when you're in that situation, and your conscience is saying it's not right, maybe you've made a commitment to spend money less, maybe you've made a commitment to not eat as many sweets, Maybe you're realizing, I'm just feeling a bit low, a bit flat today. That chocolate bar would just help. That's when there's a subtle cost of the convenience. And we pay an increasingly subtle price for that. So that's like a low end of it, right? A high end of this, of the cost of convenience against our conscience, would be something like abortion. I haven't spoken much about abortion in the time that we've been here. I can see though how, having never chosen to do that, never been in a situation where that's happened, but I can see how people, there's a convenience that abortion can bring. That, you know, you don't have to have hard conversations with friends or family that you don't want to have. You don't have to try and raise a child when you don't feel prepared. You don't have to have the lifestyle that you like and pursuing suddenly upset. And I'm not saying that this is the motivation for all abortion. Don't hear me saying that either. But can you see here there is a far greater cost in the convenience and the conscience? And you've got a whole plethora of stuff in between those two. In the world, your convenience can often come at the cost of your conscience. And I encourage you, if you see that happening, don't do it. Ask for the strength of the Holy Spirit to resist, no matter how small that thing might be or how great it might be. And this is a part where, you know, of course, I think we clearly identify this more as believers, which is a good thing. But I want to speak it out just so that we're on guard, we're aware in that area of life. The other biblical example this came to mind actually is the parable of the Good Samaritan. It's very convenient just to keep walking past, to not stop. There are two who availed themselves of that convenience. If I stop, I help out this man. It's going to be costly, time, money, effort, awkward, so many things. But there was a man, and it cost him. Cost him time, it cost him many things. But what it didn't cost him was his conscience. And he was very blessed. The other two men went away with a dulled conscience or something, where they were impacted in that way. So there's a few things just to consider as far as convenience in the world. I wanted to press into convenience in the life of the church, and this is where we can have a few more, if challenges or struggles, it can be more subtle. And what can happen here? More C words coming. So convenience in the church can lead to comfortability and then complacency. Are you feeling comfortable and complacent in your church life at the moment? When we are involved in a church family, and many of us have been, probably none of us, this has been our church family, only the children, but we've all been in different church families throughout our journey. When you're in a church family and your needs and desires are being met in that church family, in that community that you've committed to be a part of, you can slip into a place of comfortability and of complacency. And I want to encourage you to think about that if you're slipping into that place. You might walk in on a Sunday, the chairs are nicely laid out for you, the lights are on, the things are set up, your kids go out and have a great time at kids' church, they come back and enjoy the games and the teaching there. You're challenged through what's preached, hopefully. You are being blessed as we praise the Lord together. Even the morning tea is nice, you know? Just there's the small touches sometimes, isn't it? Or just the richness of being a part of a church community. Don't hear me bashing any of these things. All these things are good and it is great. We need to pursue them as a church and more. But what I'm saying is when we slip into an ease of comfort and convenience in our church community, and we don't even consider, wow, could I inconvenience myself, get up a bit earlier, and come set up the chairs? Maybe Mauricio and the team need a bit more help. I don't know. Or maybe, you know, I could step up and start playing music. Or I'll help out with kids' church. Or, you know what, I haven't actually ever considered about giving money to the church. I need to think about that. And as I was reflecting on this, I want to say to you, test what I'm saying, not only by the scripture, but also by your life. It's very easy to think, oh man, I there's so many things I need to be doing and stepping up in. But the context of your life might not be the case where you're afforded to do that. You might have a lot going on outside of the church family life, and that's all right. It is a privilege and blessing for us who have more time to dedicate to this, to serve in that fashion. But what I'm saying in that is test this by your life, and you need to be okay with having someone preach, whether it's me or someone else, and to say, you know what? I hear that. and I can see I don't need to change a thing. And at that point, you can say, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So test what I'm saying by your life. But if you're noticing in your life, and ask the Holy Spirit to reveal this to you, if you are, a comfortability, a complacency, even lack of gathering, you know, you might just come along when you're committed to something and you're, you know, serving in some way, shape or form. And it's such a blessing to see how many of us are serving. Or it might be, you know, the risk of sharing the gospel, of reaching out and saying, hey, why don't we do a street Christmas party, you know? Going to get some rejection with that. Put your neck out there a bit. That's inconvenient, isn't it? There's your wife might be working heavy hours in the lead up. Yourself, like, you might have had all sorts of things going. That's quite inconvenient. There is a need, brothers and sisters, that we step out of our comfortability and continue to grow, and that we don't become complacent. That was one of the beautiful things that happened on the man camp. In Ephesians, it talks about when every member of the body is working properly, it builds itself up in love. It builds the body up in love. And we, as Marissa was saying, it was such a blessing to experience the reality of so many scriptures as we met. But if you are recognizing, you know, actually, yeah, I have slipped into a comfortability or a complacency. And that might, you know, be a thing that works out long term, you know. You might end up down in cross-cultural missions. That's very inconvenient. You got to say goodbye to your friends, to your family. You got to live in a culture you don't know. But it's important that we are on guard against the subtle costs of loving convenience, even in the church. I want to look at Christ. And he lived in a very inconvenient fashion. First thing that he did, he left heaven. Tell you what, if there's convenience, that would be number one right there. And he came to a place where he was spat upon. He was beaten. He had people falsely accuse him. He had people say that he was the prince, worked alongside the prince of demons. I don't think he enjoyed that. At one point, there was a man who came to him and said, Lord, I'll follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said, foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man, talking of himself, has no place to rest his head. He never had a house during those 3 years. Maybe while they were on the roads between towns, they slept out under the stars. Maybe they had a roof over their heads. They didn't have much money. That's very inconvenient. That was how the Lord lived. And I want to finish just with this verse from Matthew 16 to reflect on. Jesus told his disciples, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul? And I was reflecting on this verse only yesterday, late in the afternoon. And this is a costly call to discipleship, to following Jesus. And you know what? The devil does not want you to lay down your life for Christ's sake, to give it up. He wants your soul in exchange for what the world can offer. That's what he's angling towards. But you know what? The devil is very devilish. He's not going to come to, I believe he rarely comes to people and say, hey, can you give me your whole soul and I'll give you the whole world? He tempted Christ in that way. But he rarely comes to people so blatantly. The way that the devil comes is often in very subtle, veiled temptations and said, It's just a little bit. It's just a tiny little bit. It's not going to cost you that much. Just reach out, take hold of the fruit and eat it. You'll enjoy it. And with every bite, we get further and further, and we do not realize what it has cost us. And convenience is one of these things that it's just a small, soft, outwardly sweet bite. But with time, it is so costly. Let us then be on guard against having convenient lives that leads to complacency, to comfortability, that we can serve faithfully, that we can walk in His ways, and that we can bless one another. And do you know what, brothers and sisters? The Lord is surely in our midst. He is working in your life. You may doubt that. I certainly believe it. And I've experienced the fruit, probably through everyone's life in this room, of the Lord's work. Let's continue on faithfully, not enjoying the sweet, empty taste of this world momentarily, but pursuing our Lord Jesus. And we will gain not the whole world, but something far greater, the Lord Jesus Himself. Let me pray, and then I'll invite the band up. Oh, Lord Jesus, we thank You that You care about the small things because You love us. And yes, there are big things. Do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal. But Lord, the small things can just eat away and erode. Lord, and it may not even be convenience. It may be some other small thing that is eroding the lives of my brothers and sisters. I ask for revelation for that, Lord, and that we would stand strong in You. Lord, we need that. I ask for any ways that there has been a complacency, a comfortability that has crept into our lives, Lord, that we would cast it off and say, Lord, I want to inconvenience myself for the sake of others, for Your sake, Lord Jesus. That these costly things can be laid down, even the small cost, for Your sake, Lord, that we might walk in fullness in You, Lord. And we thank You for blessing us with this as Your children, this opportunity to walk in this fashion. Amen.